Revelation chapter 5, and this morning we will continue our study of the book of Revelation by looking once again at chapter 5, and we will begin reading in verse 1. Before we hear God's word, let's pray together once again. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the holy scriptures which are breathed out by your Spirit, which are profitable for us. We pray, Father, that through the reading and preaching and the hearing of the Holy Scriptures this morning, that you would train us in all righteousness. Father, we pray that you would equip us for every good work so that we may serve you with all of our might and serve one another in love. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 5, and beginning in verse 1, beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us hear the word of God. Then I saw on the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. This is the word of God. Now this morning, I want to focus our attention on the central figure of this chapter, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is declared to be the royal lion of the tribe of Judah who has conquered, but he appears as a slain lamb. The victorious lion and the slain lamb are the same figure, seen from two different viewpoints. Now, what appears to the eyes of man as a slain lamb is, in the eyes of God, the victorious lion. So the same figure is described from two different viewpoints, or two different perspectives, the human perspective and the divine perspective, or the earthly and the heavenly. And those two perspectives are brought into view in the contrast between what John hears and what he sees. What he hears is, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered." What he sees is a lamb standing as though it had been slain. And that radical difference between what is heard and what is seen is the ultimate paradox and mystery. It's the mystery of mysteries. It is the mystery of the gospel. The victorious lion is the slain lamb. The slain lamb is the victorious lion. The two images are fused together completely and permanently. They describe the same person and at the same moment, but from two different perspectives. The visible earthly perspective on the one hand, and the invisible, presently veiled, heavenly perspective on the other, the spiritual reality that is hidden from the eyes of all except for God and those to whom God reveals it. And that's what God does in this vision. He reveals the presently veiled, hidden reality of the victory of Christ and of the faithful witnesses who suffer together with Christ. And the purpose of this revelation, which discloses the true spiritual reality of the victory of Christ and His church, is to comfort the persecuted believers and encourage them to patiently endure the tribulation and remain faithful witnesses to the end. In other words, to put it more briefly, the purpose of this vision is to encourage us to conquer and to show us how to do that. It shows us how to conquer by showing us how Christ Himself conquered. And Christ conquered by suffering and dying as a sacrificed lamb. That's how He won the victory. That's how He overthrew Satan. That's how He conquered. And that's how we too conquer. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered, and He has done so by being slaughtered as a sacrifice. Now, in one sense, Christ's victory is unique, but in another sense, it is the pattern for all believers. In every one of the letters to the seven churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, which we went over already, ends with a promise of salvation to the one who conquers. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat from the tree of life. To the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, and so on. Revelation chapter 5 tells us how to conquer by showing us how Christ conquered. It is only by suffering and dying with Christ that we conquer the evil one, gain victory over him, and obtain salvation. That's it. That's the only way. And that's what the New Testament teaches elsewhere. Jesus said that if you wish to be my disciple, then you must take up your cross and follow me. If we wish to reign with Christ in glory, then we must be crucified with him. Now, in the book of Revelation, only the faithful witnesses, the martyrs, reign with Christ in the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we have to become. We have to become martyrs. And I'm using the word martyr here in the broader sense of the term. Witnesses. Witnesses who suffer with Christ and who may very well have to seal their testimony to Christ with their own blood poured out in death. If we are going to live and reign with Christ in glory, then we must be faithful witnesses. We must be faithful martyrs. Now, Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 8, if we suffer with him, we will be glorified with him. If we suffer with Christ, we will share in his glory in the age to come. And that same message is proclaimed in the book of Revelation in symbolical images, including the images of the lion and the lamb in Revelation chapter 5. It is on the cross that Jesus wins the victory and conquers and thereby wins the right to take the scroll from the right hand of the Father and break its seven seals. Now in verse 2, a mighty angel proclaims with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals," signaling that the time had come for the scroll to be open. Unsealing and opening the scroll puts into operation the contents of the scroll, which, as we noted last Sunday, is God's plan for the coming of His kingdom. The time had come for that plan to be executed, and so the angel commences the search for someone who is worthy to do it. The angel proclaims, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And at first, no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was found worthy to open the scroll. And so John, the apostle, bursts into tears and weeps loudly because he knows that if the scroll remains sealed, the kingdom of heaven will not come. But one of the 24 elders said to John, "Weep no more," verse 5, "weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." Now, in the book of Genesis, the patriarch Jacob prophesied that the ruler of Israel, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, would come from the tribe of Judah. The Messiah is the royal lion from Judah's tribe. And in the book of Samuel, Nathan prophesied that the Messiah would be a descendant of David, the son of Jesse. Now, even though the Davidic kingdom was destroyed just a few centuries after that prophecy, like a tree being cut down, nevertheless, the stump of that tree remained, which the prophet Isaiah called the stump of Jesse, and from which he said a shoot would come forth. In other words, the Messiah, who is a descendant of David, will grow like a branch from the root of Jesse, David's father. But notice here in Revelation 5 that the text does not call Jesus the branch of David, but it calls him the root of David. And the point is that he's not merely the son of David, he is greater than David. He is, in fact, David's Lord. And David himself called him Lord when David said in Psalm 110, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Now that is the Old Testament background of the titles used in Revelation 5:5, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David. And the elder informs John that the royal figure, Judah's lion, David's offspring, David's Lord, this royal figure has conquered. He has fought and won the battle against the evil one. He has crushed the serpent's head and has thereby won the right to open the scroll and its seven seals. Now here comes the great paradox. The contrast between what John hears and what he sees, that's the great paradox. When he hears the good news about the victorious champion warrior, the lion who has defeated the devil, he looks for the lion, but he sees a lamb. And the lamb is standing near the throne of God, preparing to make his approach and take the scroll from the right hand of God. Now that transaction of the scroll from God's right hand to the Lamb signals his investiture and his enthronement as the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's the moment that he takes his seat at the right hand of the Majesty on high and begins to reign as the King of Heaven and Earth, God's vice regent. Now back to the paradox. John hears of a victorious lion, but he sees a slain lamb. The lion is the lamb. The lamb is the lion. They describe the same figure at the same moment, not at two different stages or two different moments, but the same figure at the same moment, but from two different perspectives. What John sees, the slain lamb, represents the visible, earthly, human perspective. What he hears, the conquering lion, represents the invisible, that is presently veiled, heavenly, divine perspective. Or to put it more simply, they represent what man sees and what God sees. Now, if we were standing at the foot of the cross when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and we were asked to describe what we see, we might say, "I see a man suffering and dying. I see weakness, and even the ultimate weakness, death, fast approaching." And being familiar with Isaiah 53, we might even say, "I see a lamb that has been led to the slaughter. Behold, the Lamb of God, bearing away the sins of the world." If we were eyewitnesses of the crucifixion of Jesus, we might have described his appearance as that of a lamb being slaughtered as a sacrifice. And that would be a true and accurate description. He is the Lamb of God. But in his crucifixion, and this is what Revelation 5 is revealing to us, in his crucifixion there was another reality, another hidden reality, unseen by man because veiled from his eyes, and known only to God and to those to whom God reveals it. What was it that the Father saw when his Son was hanging on the cross? Well, I can tell you exactly what he saw because God has revealed it to us in verse 5. "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, and he is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals." When Jesus died on the cross, the Father saw him crush the head of the serpent. The Lion of Judah destroyed the devil by his death on the cross. The cross of Jesus is his victory. The cross is his glory. It's his crown. It's his throne. His crucifixion was not a moment of weakness. It was not his defeat. It was his triumphant victory. The images of the lion and the lamb, then, in Revelation 5, show us how Christ conquered and how the church in him also conquers. Jesus is the ultimate martyr. He is the true martyr, the true and faithful witness who sealed his testimony with his own blood poured out on the cross. And by means of his death, he conquered Satan and won the right. Revelation 5 also tells us he won the right to sit down with his Father on his throne. Who is worthy? Christ is worthy. What made him worthy? He has conquered. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, and he is therefore worthy to take the scroll and to reign at the right hand of the Father. And the victory of Christ and his enthronement because of his victory has become the pattern for all believers. It has become the pattern for all believers. It was something he accomplished on behalf of all believers, but it has also become the pattern of all believers. Christ conquered by dying as a faithful witness, and his followers will likewise conquer by dying as faithful witnesses. And if they do, they will share the throne of Christ. Now that's what we saw, isn't it, at the end of Revelation chapter 3, Revelation 3, verse 21. The one who conquers, Jesus said, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. You see, Revelation removes the veil. It pulls back the veil so that we can see the hidden reality. We see things in the book of Revelation from the perspective of heaven, from the viewpoint of God. We see the hidden reality. Revelation is a revelation. It is an apocalypse. It is a removal of that veil to show us the hidden reality. And here in Revelation 5, we see that hidden reality of what happened on the cross. The hidden reality in the book of Revelation is that when the saints are put to death by the beast, and that's what happens to the saints in Revelation, they're put to death by the beast. But the hidden reality is that when the saints are martyred, when they are put to death by the beast, they are not conquered. They're the conquerors. They're the victors. They're the overcomers. They've won the victory. They have conquered. And they will sit down with Christ on his throne in heaven. Now, Revelation 12, verse 11, I think, makes this very clear. Revelation 12, 11, which sums up the message of the book. The martyrs, Revelation 12, 11 says, have conquered him. They have conquered the evil one, the dragon, that ancient serpent. How? By the blood of the Lamb. That's how Christ himself conquered. And by the word of their testimony, their witness, their martyria, for they loved not their lives even unto death. They sealed their own testimony with their own blood poured out in death. Now that's the central message of the book of Revelation. That's what Revelation is all about. Now, much more can be said about this vision in Revelation chapter 5, and I have more to say about it, and we'll do so, Lord willing, next time when we come back to this vision. But I hope that what you have heard today helps you to see the main point of Revelation chapter 5. The main point is that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, and he has done so by laying down his life as a sacrifice in death. That's how he has conquered, and that's how his church conquer in him.